Tonight is a very special night. We have two special guests who are here to give us the download, give us the DL around digital branding, websites, all kinds of wonderful stuff with regard to how we show up in the online world and how to do that successfully, what to do, what to not do. So I am just thrilled to have Tiara and Dawn with us tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun. And I'm just going to go ahead and give an overview of the call super quickly. We want to keep things succinct and pretty laser tonight in terms of the beginning of the call, because these ladies have put together a PowerPoint presentation. They're going to do a little activity with us, so I'm going to be mindful. Okay, so introduction round for those of you who haven't been with us before or have and would like a little refresher. We're going to introduce ourselves by sharing our name, our location, where we're located, and how we are feeling in the moment right now, in our body, maybe emotionally. So let's keep this to about 20 seconds, 30 seconds max. We want to keep things laser, but we also really want to tune in with each other. It's super important to me because we're virtual and we can't like actually feel each other's energy. It's important to kind of tune in and just be present and hold space for everybody who's with us tonight. So I will start the introduction round. My name is Fawn and I'm in Jalapa, Mexico. And I am super grateful that all of you are here. I am like, this is amazing. And I'm also really grateful for our new members. I'm just going to give a shout out right now. Let's see here. So we've got Emily, who's brand new. She just started 2 hours ago. She'll introduce herself in a second. And then Herky is also relatively new. Yay! And we might have Paige Henlein joining us in a little bit as well. And she's like as of a week. So we've got some wonderful new additions to the tribe. And then some of you who have been in the tribe for a while to welcome in the new wonderful women that we have here. So I'm feeling grateful for that. And then I'm feeling really excited, like in my body, and just like really jazzed to connect with all of you and hear what Tiara and Dawn have to say. All right, I will hand it over to Tiara. Would you be willing to introduce yourself?
Yes, I am Tiara. I am located in Raleigh, North Carolina. And what were the other things I need to say? Sorry.
No, it's fine. Something you're grateful for and how are you feeling?
Oh, yes. I'm grateful for this opportunity to be able to teach you ladies a little bit about web and marketing digital stuff. And I'm feeling a little nervous, but yeah.
Yay. Awesome. Thanks for that. Nervous means that you're growing and stretching outside of your comfort zone. So that's a good sign. Yay. All right. Dawn, would you be willing to introduce yourself?
Sure. I am located in Hillsboro, North Carolina. Which is a suburb of Raleigh, but it's pretty much just the woods. I live in the woods. I am feeling definitely excited about tonight, excited to talk about marketing and branding and digital marketing. And I am grateful for my girl, Tiara. Love you, girl.
Oh,
beautiful. Thank you so much for being with us, Dawn. Yay. So excited to welcome you into the sisterhood for the evening. Let's go to Vanessa. Would you be willing to introduce yourself? I caught you with your earphones out. You're muted, sweetie. There you go.
There we are.
Cool. Oh, you're muted again. I think maybe you clicked it twice. I'm not sure if you can.
There. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Thank you. Perfect.
Hi. My name is Vanessa. So I'm actually in California and I'm feeling really excited because this is something that I'm really thrilled about. So I'm really excited for that. And I'm grateful to have this opportunity to be able to learn more about this from all of you guys.
Wonderful. Yay. Thanks for being with us. So good to see you again. Melanie, welcome to the video calls. Whoop, whoop. You've been so active in the Facebook group. It's been really fun to have you, but now we get to have you on live video. Would you be willing to introduce yourself?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So I'm Melanie and I live in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. and I'm feeling extremely excited to be on this call. I can't wait to learn everything, and I'm feeling really good. I've had like a crazy exciting couple of weeks, and I'm feeling like real good right now.
Woohoo! Awesome. Yes, you have.
Yes.
Thanks for being with us. Awesome. Awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And Emily, would you be willing to introduce yourself? So happy to have you.
Hey there, guys. My name is Emily, and I'm from Michigan. I live in Lansing. And I'm feeling really excited to start this journey. Like Fawn said, I just started this journey like less than 2 hours ago. So it's all pretty new to me. And she's like, do you want to join this call tonight? Like, you should join it. Like, I'm not pressuring you, but you should join it. And I was like, yeah, of course, I'll do it. Of course. So yeah, I'm really excited. And I'm feeling just really grateful and happy. Feel like I've been following my intuition a little bit more, and that's what led me here today. So I'm just excited to meet you guys and to do this together.
Yay, everybody, give Emily a warm welcome. Yay, welcome to the tribe. Awesome. Let's go to Paige. Would you be willing to say hello, introduce yourself? So good to see you.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Paige. I am from Cincinnati, Ohio. Let's say I'm feeling sleepy. I'm getting over a cold. It's been an interesting couple of weeks. but I am grateful just to be back home and back into my routines. And I'm grateful to be here.
Beautiful.
Nice meeting you all. There's a lot awesome. Of new faces I haven't seen before.
Right? I know. I'm so excited. Thanks for being with us and welcome home. I'm really glad that you're home safely.
Thank you.
Landing. Too. Yeah. Beautiful. Let's go to Kim. Hi, Kim.
Hello. I'm Kim Moore, and I am from Youngstown, Ohio, and I am definitely excited about tonight. And I am feeling grateful for being here and also that summer is almost here.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Kim. I'm excited for summer for you as well. Kim's a teacher, so she's about to have some time for herself. Yay. Herky, would you be willing to say hello? And you are muted. I'm not sure if you.
Yes.
Can you hear me now? Thank you. Yes.
Hi, everyone. My name is Herky, and I'm from Malvern, Pennsylvania. I'm feeling really excited, even though I'm feeling a bit tired. I just came from my son's kindergarten performance from school. But I'm really excited to know and as grateful for the same to enter into entrepreneurship and see, you know, how it goes. So looking forward to it. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thanks for being with us. That's so cute. You went to your son's performance. Awesome. Aliana, who is calling in on the 786 area code, would you be willing to introduce yourself? Or you might be driving. I don't know. Okay. Aliana, you might be driving right now, but feel free to unmute yourself and introduce yourself. You can. Okay, she might not be able to. Okay, Jessica, hi.
Hi, I'm Jessica. Sorry, I'm a few minutes late. I'm in Chicago, and it's starting to feel like a beautiful summer day finally, so that's awesome. And I'm feeling grateful because I am 2 weeks away from the last day at my current job and about to launch into an adventure to figure out what my entrepreneur venture is going to be. So very excited for that. Things are finally starting to wrap up and sort themselves out. So super excited.
Yes. Awesome. So excited for you. Beautiful. Thank you for that. And Katie, so nice to see you here with us. Hey, sweetie, will you introduce yourself?
Yeah. Oh. Hi, I'm Katie. I'm in San Francisco. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, now I can. Would you mind starting over?
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm Katie. I'm in San Francisco. I'm excited to be here today. I haven't been able to make a call in a while, so it's nice to be able to attend finally. And topic is one that I've been sort of thinking about, so I'm interested to hear your guys' take on it and any like tips and tricks and things like that that you have to offer.
Beautiful. Thanks for that. Yay. All right. Let me just make sure that I can see everybody. This is... Wow. Yes. Okay. If there's anybody that I have not invited to introduce themselves, please feel free to do so. I think that's the group. Okay. Beautiful. Thank you for your introductions, ladies. It's amazing to have all of you here. You're all in different parts of the country, different time zones. Thank you for making the time in your busy days and schedules to join us tonight and come together in the sisterhood. This is like so, just so awesome. So I'm going to hand the spotlight and the microphone over to Tiara and Duan. They are our guest hosts, guest speakers tonight, and they have generously put together a whole thing for us. So I'm just going to go ahead and let them take it from here, and yeah, I'm gonna sit back and enjoy with the rest of you.
Awesome. Let me just get my screen here. Okay, can everyone see my screen?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. So I'm Tiara, and myself and Dewan are going to be taking you through how to slay your digital brand. So just a little bit of background. For me, I've been in the digital and marketing industry for a little over 16 years now. And I've worked at companies such as Macy's and Cafe Press and Lane Bryant. And I've realized over the years that I really want to use my expertise to really help other women to build their businesses and help them to build awesome brands and really look their best online. I am originally from Philadelphia. I heard there are two other people from that area, so shout out to you. And I have a dog who may or may not make an appearance in the video. And I'll let Dewan introduce herself.
All righty. I, like Tiara, have been around for a while. I've been doing this around 17 years, a little bit over 17 years, and have worked with a lot of different brands and government agencies. Also worked for a sports team in London. So I've been doing a lot of Marcom work for my entire career, and have been doing things from graphic design to social media to large scale campaigns. So I'm really excited to be able to share that knowledge with you ladies tonight. And I am not from Philadelphia, like dear. We make that joke all the time. I am definitely Southern, if you can't hear it in my accent. But I love sports. And so if I'm not with my daughter or with my husband, I'm usually watching some sort of sports program on TV or with my daughter. So again, really excited to be here with you. And I am going to just jump right into our presentation today. And I'm going to talk to you about digital brand to start. And I really want to start off because it was interesting that Fawn sent out a survey to you ladies about some of the things that you might want to hear about tonight. And so I think the results of those were number one, the number one thing you wanted to hear about was websites. The second thing was marketing. And then the third was about branding. And I kind of laughed about that with Tiara because it should be flipped. So the number one thing, it should be brand. Because that is going to drive everything that you do as far as marketing and communications goes. And so that's why we're starting off with brand right now. To give you sort of a definition of brand, it's not a logo. It's not a symbol. It's not your colors. It's not a photograph. It's really about people and about your connection to people. So it's about the relationship that you have with people. whether it's you, whether it's your company, whether it's the product or the service you offer, it's all about relationship. And then connectivity also goes into it because it's really about what people connect to you. It's the emotion that they might connect with the product you're offering or the service they're offering, or maybe their connection with you as a person. And so all of that sort of feeds into their experience with you. And I pulled up this Instagram snapshot of Target. And if you can see the first three images that popped up on the screen when I pulled up their page, I thought it was really interesting because they are not advertising a single product, or there's not a photo of a single product. They're about the experience that you get or the experience that these people got when they were in Target. And that's really what you want to focus on. And Target really does a good job with that because they, if you pay attention to a lot of their advertising and a lot of what they do, they don't necessarily advertise a lot of products. They advertise who they are and the experience that you're going to get when you go into a Target store or when you use the Target app. It's about the experience and how they want you to feel when you come into their store. And so I also go back for a second, thanks. Want to talk about differentiation. And we're going to focus on this a little bit later, but thinking about your experience at Target versus an experience at Walmart. And they have sort of differentiated themselves, on purpose from what you're going to experience at Target versus what you're going to experience from Walmart. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. So let's get into digital brand. And this is really the first question you want to ask yourself is, who are you? Not necessarily what you do or what you offer, but who do you want to be or who are you? Because that's really what your brand is about. And one thing I actually wanted to mention before is you might hear about digital brand versus brand. And there really isn't a difference. Really, your brand is your brand. So that's going to feed through your digital presence, through your in-person presence, through whatever tool or whatever media you're going to use, that's your brand. So don't let it trick you. It's all your brand. But the question about who are you, and we're just going to go through a few do's and don'ts when you're trying to answer this question. So the first one is, you know yourself first. And I know a lot of people in this group are kind of feeling around that. You know, who do I want to be? Who am I right now? Who do I want to be? And this is what you also want to ask yourself in whatever venture you're going to go after or whatever venture you're in right now. Also, know your audience. Know who you're trying to attract or who is going to actually feed off of what you're offering. The third one is use your gut. And I probably could have put that one first because I feel like as women, we know what we know. And the issue is probably that we don't pay attention to it. But we know what we know. We know our gut. So use that as you're answering these questions and figuring out what your brand is. The next thing, be inspired. Make sure that you're inspired by other competitors or other individuals, other companies out there. But you'll see at, under the don'ts is don't duplicate. So you want to be inspired, but don't, you know, copy what someone else is doing because their brand is not your brand. They're not who you are. So make sure that you're, you know, looking at what they're doing, but not necessarily duplicating what they're doing. And then tell the world who you are. So once you've, you know, defined that who, this is the opportunity, especially when you're talking about digital and talking about marketing and communications, this is what people want to hear about. So tell people who you are. And don't take your who for granted. And I have up here a comparison of Craigslist versus OfferUp. And so they're really sort of, you know, community-based yard sales online. But the funny thing about Craigslist is that they have been the same since they started. And I think it's on purpose, is that they, you know, we are who we are. We're Craigslist. And yes, we have OfferUp, and you have Facebook marketplaces and things where you, all kinds of tools. But they've sort of said, you know what, this is who we are. We don't have bells and whistles. We don't necessarily have this fancy app, but you can go on there at any point in time and find thousands and thousands of products for sale, because people still use it. But OfferUp probably saw something like Craigslist and said, you know what, we can make this better. We can make this a better experience. And they define who they are and who they want to be for their customers. So just an example to look at.
And also, Dwan, I wanted to jump in with an example.
Okay.
About duplicating.
Yes.
I don't know if you ladies have heard in the news recently, Sephora has been being dragged on social media for the last few weeks because they released a new makeup line that is pretty much a copy of a woman named Supersense line, which her makeup line is called the Crayon Case. And basically all of her makeup is made to look at, like, packaging is like crayons and things like that. And it's a very well-known, like, a cult brand. And Sephora just launched a new line that pretty much looks exactly like that. So that's an example of, you know, be inspired by what's out there, but definitely don't just copy what's out there.
And that's a great point, because it kind of speaks to the reason why they're being there all kinds of negative comments and things online, is because it's about people, and people see what you do and they see what you don't do, and they see who you copy and who you're not copying. So again, it goes back to people and their experience with you. All right. So now we can talk about the what. And so the first thing on the do's is take the time to define your unique offering. And if I could, you know, use a highlighter or a red magic marker to circle unique, I would do it on screen several times, because what you want to do is pull out the uniqueness of what you're offering. And that could be a unique product, but it could also be the unique way in that you're offering it, or what you're doing, or who you are, is the unique part about what you're offering. So make sure that you take enough time to define that. And I would say also make sure that you use the people around you, the people who know you or the people who might know your service or your product, because they can often tell you what's unique about what you're offering, sometimes better than you can, because when you're in the trenches, sometimes you know, you're focused on what you're doing and someone can really pull out what they're getting out of it. And that, again, helps to pull out that relationship with people as well. So make sure that you tell your story and talk about that unique offering or that unique service that you're offering. Deliberately and passionately call out. So again, make sure that you are, you know, yes, this is who I am. This is what makes me unique, and this is what I'm offering. And I use, again, going back to Walmart versus Target, is that, you know, if you look at Walmart and look at Target, they don't necessarily sell drastically different things. I mean, they both have grocery stores. They both have home goods. They both sell shoes and towels and all kinds of things. But Target has deliberately called out and said, expect more from us. And I personally think that it's a play on expect more from us than Walmart. So they're saying expect more from your experience. Now, Walmart is great. You go in there, you get low prices, you go in, you get out, you're good. But Target, it has said, you know what, we're going to come out and we're going to make ourselves unique, and we're going to deliberately call that out. So it kind of speaks to them, again, taking you through their journey of what you're going to get when you go into a Target store. Get creative about your message delivery. So make sure that you're using all of these different platforms that we're going to talk about a little later, and that there are so many different ways to get your message out. So make sure that you're using it to get your what out to your audience. Don't forget to use your digital space as your message board. Again, that goes back to there's so many tools out there to use. Use it. And a lot of them are so low cost that it really doesn't take a lot to get yourself out there and to get your message out there. You just have to put in the effort and the work to make sure that it really speaks to your brand. And then don't disconnect your digital experience from your in-person experiences. And that is really key when you're talking about, especially if you're in a place where you're selling something or people are coming into your space or into your company, make sure that the digital experience that they get is going to match what they're getting with you. And we've all experienced where we'll go on a website and we'll, oh, this looks fabulous. You know, I'm going to go into this spa. This, you know, this looks great online. And then you walk in and you're like, what happened here? Like, this is not the experience that I got online. And then vice versa, you might, you know, someone maybe didn't spend as much time on their website, but you walked into their store and it was fabulous. And it's like, you know, there's a disconnect there. So make sure that your brand is filtered through both the in-person and your online experience.
And Dwan, I just wanted to jump in really quickly about what you were saying around, you know, your unique offering and positioning yourself. And I think one thing that a lot of people are afraid of is really being their authentic self. And I feel like your true self should come out in your brand, especially if you are your brand, because people will see right through you if you're not. And there's an audience out there for all different types of personalities. And one example is there's a new food truck and restaurant in Atlanta, and it's called the Slutty Vegan. And, you know, some people may be like, oh God, the Slutty Vegan. But like, you know, she really made that brand her own. And now she's like, completely taken off and opening up a restaurant, and there's like 2-hour waits, and she's getting, you know, people who traditionally would never be vegan and like people in the hood and all kinds of stuff to really embrace what she's making. And her brand is, it's definitely memorable, and it's definitely unique. So definitely just don't be afraid to be who you are.
Perfect. So going into when does your uniqueness, or when does your launch, or when does your service or company make sense? And this is, I'm going to just go ahead and jump out with the example that we have here of Blockbuster versus Redbox versus Netflix. Do we all remember sad Blockbuster and how it's now a memory? It's so sad. It died a very slow and painful death. But it's interesting, here, because, you know, Blockbuster sort of held the market for in-home movies for so long. And then I know for myself, when I started seeing the Redbox kiosks pop up everywhere, I thought it was great. I don't have to talk to anyone. I could just go get my movie, in my, you know, sweats and PJs if I want to, and I can come back home and I'm good. But then I, you know, being a brand person, I immediately thought, what is Blockbuster going to do? You know, what are they going to do? Because this is going to take off. And then I quickly realized that they're just going to die a slow and painful death, because they really didn't jump up to, you know, take over kiosks, or to, if they did, they sort of waited way too late, and they didn't really take the leap as soon as they saw the market changing. And I think that's kind of the same thing with Redbox versus Netflix, because now I used to use Redbox a ton, but now not really as much anymore at all, because I have Netflix. And so it's kind of like, okay, well, what is Redbox going to do? Well, they've started streaming maybe a few years ago. But at the same time, I think we can all pretty much say that Netflix is the giant here. So you really have to pay attention to what's happening in the trends, in the marketplace, and make sure that when you're taking that leap or you might change a product or when you're offering a service that you do the research to make sure when's the right time to take that leap. Make sure that you establish your plan first. Tierra knows that I'm really big on plans. Like, it's nails on a chalkboard. If there's not a plan, I start to freak out. So I really kind of push that, you know, whatever it is, if it's a communications plan, if it's about digital marketing, a media plan, you really got to make sure that you have that in place so that you know where you're going. It's going to change. You're going to have to make edits. But make sure that you have something down so that you have a map to where you're going. Also make sure that you establish your digital presence early and often. So it's really sort of a part of your launch plan. Make sure that that's in there, because when you open your doors, so to speak, your digital presence should be open as well. Should happen really at the same time. So make sure that you do it early and make sure that you do it often, because it's kind of like a ER in a hospital. Once the door is open, they never close. So people are always on digital. They're always on social media. So not saying that you have to post every day, all day, but you do need to make sure that you're having that continuous conversation with your audience. Don't underestimate the power of timing, scheduling, and frequency. And this, especially with any digital presence you have, make sure that timing is done well, that you're scheduling things, and that you have your frequency down. Because sometimes people might not want to hear from you every day, or they might not want to see that you're posting 10 different content stories a day. Sometimes it's just good for them to hear from you once a week. And there's power in that, because you have to kind of feel your audience out and know what they're expecting and what they want. Definitely going back to, don't start without a plan, and then don't sleep on digital enhancements. And so we all know digital is always changing. Advertising online is always changing. The hottest social media tool out there is always changing. So make sure that you have someone in place, or that you yourself are keeping up with those changes. Where does your digital brand belong? And so I'm using Reebok and Nike here to paint the picture of, you know, what Nike has done and what Reebok has tried to do or not really done at all. Nike, I think it is everywhere, and I've kind of lost count on how many apps Nike has. They've got so many different apps for whatever kind of athlete you are. They're, of course, they're all over social media. They're all over digital, because they've kind of, you know, mapped out that being fit and active is a lifestyle. And so they want to be wherever we are, their customers. And so if you sort of pay attention to that, I'm not sure if I've ever seen a Reebok digital ad, or if I've ever been in a place where I've seen someone using their app or seen it, you know, I've just not seen it. And so it's kind of hard to, you know, compete against someone like Nike when they're not, you know, in the space the way they need to be. And so make sure that you know where you belong. And as far as Reebok goes, if you want to compete, you kind of have to be in that same space and carve out that space for themselves. And that's sort of the message here to all of us, is to make sure that we carve out that digital brand space, that we make sure we know where we need to be, because obviously not every platform is where you need to be. Some work, for some services and products and some don't. But make sure that you know that, that you know which ones work for you and you know why, and that you put in the time and development it takes to be there. So do your research, enlist professional help, and make sure you explore all the possibilities out there for you. One of the big don'ts is don't play hide and seek. And the one thing that I've learned from working with a lot of different clients is that they're surprised when, you know, I'll say, you know, no one really knows you're here. No one really knows that you are offering this new product. And it's, you know, what do you mean they don't know? I'm offering it. And it's like, well, you're not in any space. And people don't want to work to have to find you. That's just the generation and the age we're in right now. You want to make it so easy for them to find you and find your product and find what you do that it's nothing but a click for them to go ahead and purchase or to partner with you or to use the service that you have. So don't play hide and seek. Make it as easy as you can possibly make it. And try not to eat the entire cake at one time. I know this is a lot. And the digital space, the digital world is a lot with all caps. But don't try to sort of, you know, take it all in at once and, okay, I'm going to just be on every platform. I'm going to get my website. I'm going to get an app. I'm going to do all of this at once because that is definitely going to drain and it's not going to be the best experience for you and probably not for your customer either. But make sure that you have a plan for how you want to launch things. And we can obviously help you with that as well. And then don't underestimate the power of your audience. They, again, it's about the relationship and they definitely have a lot to offer you. So they can really be sounding boards to tell you where you are and where you should be and where you shouldn't be. And, you know, you might find, you know what, I have hundreds of followers on Instagram, but I've only got 10 on Facebook where your audience is probably speaking to you. So don't underestimate the power of what they're saying. All right. And so the last part here goes to why. And this is a huge question that, you know, I would encourage everyone to take the time to figure out is why do you exist? Why are you offering the product that you're offering? Why are you offering the service that you're offering? Why do you have these gifts that the world might want? Because that's really going to drive a lot of the questions above that we talked about. So make sure you use your uniqueness. Make sure that you are always connecting your why to people around you. And the example I have here is Dunkin' versus Starbucks. And Tiara and I kind of laughed about this because it's like, well, wait, what are they called now? Is it Dunkin'? Is it DD? Is it Dunkin' Donuts? I don't know. No one really. And I think it's different in whatever part of the country you're in right now. And it's kind of interesting because I think they're changing because of, obviously they're trying to compete with Starbucks. I think they dropped the donuts because they kind of want to be known for more than donuts and they want to be known for coffee because they're kind of trying to compete with Starbucks. But the funny thing about it is that, you know, Starbucks has been selling more than coffee for quite a while. But Starbucks hasn't said, okay, we're now going to be called coffee and stuff. You know, or they've always been Starbucks coffee. Yes, they've added breakfast, they've added all kinds of things, but they're still Starbucks coffee. So they know why they exist. They exist for coffee. And yes, we might evolve and expand and do some more things, but we're still Starbucks coffee. But this example also goes back to, you know, not doing things because your competitor is doing them. Or, you know, trying to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, really knowing who you are and what you do and making that better. So don't base your why solely on competition or revenue. And don't ever forget your why, because that's your center and that's what drives what you're going to do. right. So now we're just going to get a little bit into digital marketing and communications.
Go ahead. Before you get started, I know we're going to take questions at the end, but I just wanted to check since that was a lot of information. If anyone has any comments or anything before we move on. All right,
good. Okay. So I think at the beginning I talked about how your brand was going to drive everything. And so that's really what you should remember when you're talking about marketing and communications and also digital, is your brand is number one. And once you have that figured out, I promise you that the marketing and the digital part will come so much easier because you know who you are, you know what your brand is, and those other things will flow. So your marketing plan will flow from that, and then your website, your social presence, any sort of digital or email things that you're going to do, it's all going to flow from that. So your strategy, your strategy is the map that gets you there. So you want to make sure that you have that strategy and that plan set up and ready to go, because that's really going to drive getting you to your goals. And so know your MarComms mix. And so marketing and communications mix, we're going to talk about that here on the next slide.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
So one thing that came up as you were kind of moving on, but kind of relates to the branding still. So do you have any suggestions on how do you not narrow in so much that you kind of limit yourself, like as Dunkin' Donuts has, like now they're trying to kind of broaden a bit, but like how do you get specific enough that you are saying like this is uniquely me, or like this is uniquely what I want to offer, but not too specific that you don't leave yourself room to broaden?
Let me ask, are you talking about a specific product or maybe a service, or just in general?
I'm kind of just asking in general, in my case, what I have is something that I offer is like meditation and yoga and wellness. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to like be too specific in what I'm wanting to offer, but I'm also, because I want to like leave that room to kind of evolve organically, but not too broad that I'm not being like targeted at all, you know?
Okay. I would say that's where your strategy and your plan comes into place. Because you're obviously going to launch with a certain handful of services that you provide. And that's probably what you're going to focus on for, a good bit before you actually expand into other areas. But as far as brand goes, that also gives your brand time to get established. So that time that you're taking to, you know, get launched, get those few services off the ground, gives time for your brand to take hold with your audience, and gives, you know, time for that relationship to form and your brand to kind of grow. And then after that, you'll be able to sort of expand and bubble out. No one really, if you look at some of these big brands, they didn't necessarily start off with, okay, I'm going to offer, you know, 20 different things. Starbucks didn't start off saying, you know, we're going to offer breakfast. They started with, okay, we've got this coffee. That's really great. And we're going to start with that. And once people really, okay, this is an awesome brand. We've started off really great. Now we can bubble out and expand. And people really know who we are. But the important part is really to stick to who you are, because that is really what's going to branch out with you. It's not necessarily holding you in, because you can, you know, offer different things. But if it's true to your brand, that's what's going to stick with people. And also, if it's true to your brand, and if you're true to your brand, you're not going to stretch out to something that's really not you. You're not going to offer something or a service that's really not who you are and really not in your brand. So you're going to know what to say no to and what to expand towards. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the answer.
Okay. Awesome. Any other questions? All right. So I want to just jump into five things that you can do tomorrow. I was selfishly thinking about me, and I was like, you know, we can do things we can do tomorrow because it's going to be like 10 o'clock our time. but I realized that everyone's all over the country, so this might be things that you can do tonight. The first thing would be to embrace digital as a business basic. And so a lot of people sort of think about, okay, I need financing and I need IT and I need HR and I need all these different facets when I'm launching a company, but not necessarily digital marketing or not necessarily their marcoms. But that is just as important as your financing or your IT or some of those more well-known things you need to launch. It's very important. You have to carve out the time and the budget to make that happen because, again, you don't want to play hide and seek. And you can have your business well in place, but nobody knows you exist. So that's a very important part of what you need to get yourself out there. The second part is audit your current digital presence. So if you know, already in business or already have yourself out there, take some time to kind of do an audit of where you are. And that means, you know, listing, okay, here are all the social media platforms I'm on. Here's what my website does for my users right now. Here's what it doesn't do. And here are the social media platforms I'm on, but do I need to be on all of these? Is this particular one working for me and for my audience? Can I, you know, maybe shift gears or switch to something that might work better? Make sure that you're doing that on at least an annual basis to make sure that you know where you are and where you need to be and if it's still working for you. Build your 10-step strategy. And that's something that we can definitely help you with to make sure that you have that strategy and that plan in place. And this is something as basic as, you know, 10 steps. These are 10 things that I need to do in the next 6 months or the next couple of weeks to get myself where I need to be to achieve my marketing goals online. And then think holistically. So make sure that you're taking account everything that you have out there. We didn't talk a lot about, you know, print things or signage or things like that, but make sure that you're taking that into account as well as digital, because like we said, your brand is your brand. So that's whether you're in the press or whether you're online, whether, you know, you have an in-store option for people, you want to make sure that all of that is where it needs to be as far as your brand goes. And then the last thing is to write down and implement 5 content ideas. So I believe that if we, you know, took 10 or 15 minutes right now and everyone just did a brainstorm of 5 stories or 5 people or 5 photos that you had that would make great content that people might want to see or might want to hear about, you probably could knock that out in 10 minutes. And so what we're saying is, you know, write those things down and implement those content ideas. And Tierra is going to talk a little bit more about content online. But though that's something that is quick and easy and something that you can write down to get the ball rolling. And if there aren't any questions on that part, I'm going to turn it over to Tierra.
Awesome.
I have a quick question for you, Dawn.
Okay.
So on the topic of auditing, can you go back a slide real quick? Cool. So auditing your current digital presence. Quick question about that. So how do you know if, for example, you're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and you're not getting traffic on one of them, or maybe you're not getting traffic on all of them, and you're posting pretty consistently, how do you audit that without really knowing if you're even getting in front of the right people, or like if you don't really know what the metrics should be for that? What, do you have any suggestions for like what a good audit entails?
I do. And Tiara, you can jump in here if you want, but the main thing is that your audience will sort of tell you where, if you are getting your messages, you're sending messages out pretty regularly, but your audience isn't coming, or they're there, but they're not really responding. Mm-hmm. A good indicator is, you know, look at what your audience is doing, and look at what they're saying, what they're not saying. So that's one thing. Obviously looking at followers, those numbers, that can tell you a good story as well. Something else is, you know, you can sort of audit yourself and say, you know what, I don't have that many followers on Instagram, but you know, I've only posted like 10 times in the last, 3 months. That can tell you, you know, okay, maybe I need to beef that up so that I can really tell if this is where I need to be. And also making sure that everything is connected. So making sure that you, again, aren't playing hide and seek and you're inviting people to be on those different platforms. So if you're, you know, finding that not a lot of people are or on Instagram or on Twitter, that's part of, okay, well, we haven't really done much marketing to get people on there. So that should be part of our strategy, is to make sure that we're reaching out more, to get people on. So like I said, this is something that you're going to want to do on an ongoing basis, because it's all, again, it's always changing. And again, your audience is going to tell you, the job that you're doing, if you're doing a good job or not.
Yeah, and also I think some of that will come, each social media platform has, you know, analytics. So you can see, like, maybe there's a couple of posts that got more traffic than the others. So you can start looking at those topics. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about, like, SEO and stuff and search. And what you write about should be related to what people are searching for. And then also like looking at what your competitors are doing and things like that to get an idea of, are you putting out the content that that audience is looking for? And then also, are you using the right terminology that people are searching for?
Super helpful. Thank you so much, both of you. That's key insights.
Okay, I'm going to start in 1 second, but I need to get my dog to stop really quickly.
Intermission.
I didn't even hear a dog.
I didn't either.
Okay, but you can't hear him breaking down my door?
No, not at all.
I'm going to keep going then. Right. So I'm going to talk to you about how to slay your website. What you need to know about having not only a well-designed website, but most importantly, one that's easy to use. So I wanted to start off with a few little trivia questions. So feel free to unmute yourself if you want to answer. So the first question is, how many seconds do you have to capture a user's attention once they land on your website? Anyone have a guess?
I'll guess 2 seconds.
Five.
What was that one?
Five.
Close. You have 8 seconds. And it actually may be down to 5 by now, because this statistic is from 2017, but our attention span continues to come down. So it's important that the top part of your page, for whichever page it is on your website, because you don't necessarily know where people are coming in. What we call above the fold is like the part of the page that people can see on their screen without scrolling. You want to make sure that that content is engaging enough for them to want to stay on the site and keep going. So the second question is, what is the number one driver of traffic to pretty much all websites? Any guesses?
Google search results.
Correct. So for the large majority of websites, the way that people find you is through Google. And so that's why SEO or search engine optimization is so important, which I will dive into, because when people type in a search, you want to absolutely be on that first page, preferably in the first three options, because I believe the first option usually gets about 97% of clicks. And if you're on the second page, you can pretty much forget it. And the last question is, how long should it take for a page to load on your website?
Instant.
In seconds?
Three.
Five.
Yes. So ideally less than 3 seconds, but studies show the more each second over 3 seconds that it takes your web page to load, the more likely it is that people will abandon and leave your site. So I'm going to talk about more about those things in a minute. So the four things that you definitely want to focus on when you want to slay your website presence is to make sure your content is on point, you have a great design, it's easy to use, and it's developed well so that there's not, like, you know, broken links and things aren't showing up the way that they should be. So people in the industry, they love to throw out the phrase that content is king, which it really is right now, thanks to Google. But I like to say that content is queen, like the Queen Beyonce. Some of the things that you want to make sure that you do in order to optimize your site for findability in search engines, as well as to make sure that people actually engage with your content and keep reading. You want to make things short. As we said, people have no attention span anymore. They don't like to read a whole lot of things. If you chunk up your content into easy to read short paragraphs using bullets, subheads, those are the things that are going to make your site easy to scan. A large percentage of people who will come to any given website and land on an article, they're only going to read like 50% or less of the article. So you want to make sure that you make it easy to scan so they can get to the parts of the content that they're interested in. And then you also want to keep them on your site and stay engaged. So you want to, if you have content related to that content, you want to make sure you link to it to keep them jumping around your site. And when Google indexes pages and they scan pages, they like to see that there's at least 250 words on a page wherever possible. There probably will be, pages where it doesn't make sense, like if it's just like photo gallery or things like that. But some other things you want to make sure to do is to, definitely proofread, figure out your voice and your tone, which goes back to your brands, like who is your audience? How do you want to speak to them? And make sure that you consistently speak to them in that voice throughout your content. And also doing keyword research is important. Google does have some free tools. There's also some other tools out there that are free, or you can at least use some of it before they make you pay. But basically it'll show you what people are searching for. And even when you do a search on Google yourself and you type in like nail salon, like you'll see like that drop down menu that will pre-populate, like maybe like near me might be the first one that pops up, things like that. That's also part of keyword research, because that's those items show up based on what's being searched on the most. So you want to name things and implement those keywords and phrases and create content around the topics and phrases that are showing up the most, because that's going to help bring traffic to your site and help your site to rank better. But one thing you don't want to do is like stuff your site with keywords, because that will actually have the opposite effect and Google will actually rank you lower for that. So an example of that would be if you sell pool equipment, you don't want every other word to be pool, like so that you can rank for pool items. Like you just want to conversationally incorporate the word pool a few times throughout your content, but definitely don't just like stuff it with those words. And definitely don't write a novel. Like I said, people are not reading that. And then two other things that you want to make sure you do, which not only helps with search, but also with just findability and contacts, is your metadata and your alt text. And those are in your back end of your pages. And usually if you're using like a WordPress or a Wix, like they will help walk you through where this goes. But basically it's a description, a short description of what the page is about, and then adding a description of what each image is. And because all of that stuff is picked up in the search engines. And then Google has a max character count of 60 for page titles. And Google also uses your page titles as something else that they consider to rank you. So you want to make sure that not only are your titles less than 60 characters, but that they incorporate the keyword that you want to be known for that page, and that it's like a relevant title. So the next thing we're talking about is design. So one of the things that people seem to think is just like trying out all the like latest things, and I want to put like moving flashing lights, and I want flowers, and I want music, and I want 14 fonts, and it's too much. So the best thing about design is simplicity. So you want to limit your fonts, probably two, maybe three, if you know how to combine them properly. You want to make sure that you keep a consistent look and feel across all of your channels, including your website. So if your brand color is a specific shade of green, you don't want to use a different shade of green on, you know, on different pages if that's not part of your brand colors, because you want people to recognize your look and your feel. Use of white space is highly important because it helps the eye to like really take everything in. And then you also want to make sure that you're designing your site for your target user. So if you know that you're targeting women, millennials who do yoga, like you'll have a different look and feel than if you're selling wheelchairs. So like you want to, you know, make sure that you're designing for your audience and keeping that in mind. For instance, if your demographic is like over 50, they have a harder time seeing things. So you want to make sure that your font is maybe larger than you would for like a younger demographic. Some of the ways to make sure that your pages do load less than 3 seconds is to not have large files. So you want to try to keep your images and your document files in your site less than 1 megabyte. And it's recommended for images to be 72 DPI. If you're doing it for print, it would be 300 DPI, but that's going to keep your your file size is low. So the more things you have on your site, video, JavaScript code, all types of plugins, imagery, all of that stuff contributes to how long it will take your site to load. So you want to try to do it simple and work with your developer or consult with one if you're doing it yourself on, you know, how to make sure that, you know, you're doing the best practices so that things load properly. And one thing you don't want to do besides have music playing is to use Flash. Flash was definitely something that was popular back in the day, but thanks to Apple, Flash is dead because Flash doesn't work on Apple phones, and that's the number one mobile device that people have. So it's just not a good practice to use Flash on your site as well. So we're going to talk about UX. UX is relatively new in the digital space, but UX stands for user experience. And so basically, it's about how usable is your site. And I love the quote that no amount of design can make up for a poor website experience. And it doesn't matter how beautiful your site is, if no one can use it, people can't find anything, then it's not a good experience. So one thing you want to do is make it as easy to use as possible. Name your items, your navigation, the way that people are looking to find it. So for instance, if you want to have in your navigation that you have notebooks, you would put notebooks under the shop navigation. You wouldn't put like things that you put on your desk that you write in or something, but like you just want to make sure you call it what people are looking for, because people may not understand if you're trying to use like cutesy fun language, they may not understand what to find under that navigation and they may get frustrated. So you just want to make it as easy as possible. You want to make sure that it looks good in various browsers and sizes. And there's tools out there that you can do, that you can use, especially if you're using Chrome. There's if you hit F12 in your Chrome browser, it'll pull up developer tools and you can actually pick what device you want to look at. So you can see how your site looks on mobile, tablet, iPad, iPhone, Samsung, all different sizes to make sure that it's it looks correct. And you definitely want to make sure your site is mobile and responsive, because mobile is probably where at least half of your traffic is going to come from. So you want to make sure that your site looks good in your mobile phone. Another thing you want to do is to have someone who's not close to the site, so a friend or a family member, walk through the site and do the tasks that you're expecting a user to do. So if you're a blog and you want people to obviously find and read through your articles, or if you sell product, you want people to be able to purchase a top and check out seamlessly, you want to have people do that, because it'll help you to find where people are getting stuck, where it's something's not working the way you thought it would work, or where people you thought people would understand it, just to make sure you're making it the best it can be. And another thing that you want to make sure you do is make your site accessible. So there's a huge push for making sure that websites are good for people who have disabilities, so like vision impaired. And so if you're blind, for instance, they have a screen reader, which basically is a tool that reads out loud to them the website. And so you want to make sure that the screen reader can read it. And then also, if it's someone who is not completely blind but visually impaired, you want to make sure that you have good contrast so that people can read it. Like for instance, this navy blue background, you wouldn't want to put black text on it because people can't read that. So you just want to keep that in mind. And there's a lot of free resources out there to help you understand what is considered accessible and what's not. One of the things that you really want to do is map out, like, what are the things that I really want people to do? What are the goals? What are the conversions? Do you want them to buy? Do you want them to contact you, email you, fill out a form, download a PDF? Like, what do you want them to do? And then make sure that it's easy for them to do those things, so that you can make it easy as possible for people to get what you want them to get. And the next thing and last stage is obviously development. And so if you're unable to use a pro and you want to do it yourself and you have limited development experience, you want to definitely make sure that you use a platform that's a lot more user-friendly. So like WordPress or Wix or Squarespace, because you want to make sure that you have the capability to update it on your own. You want to do research on, like, what are the best practices to make sure, because like Dewan said, the digital space is constantly changing, what you should and shouldn't do, the trends and all of that is constantly changing. So like making sure that you're staying on top of that to make your site as best as it can be. And one thing that you want to do with your site is once you launch your site, you're still not done. Like, you want to make sure you're constantly looking at analytics and seeing what's new and what people are actually using and not using, and constantly updating your website and optimizing it for your audience. And speaking of Google Analytics, it is a free plugin. So basically, you want to make sure you put that code in your website so that you can go into Google Analytics and see what people are doing on your site. So you'll be able to see how many people have viewed your site, what pages people are looking at the most, what pages people aren't looking at, where people are coming from. Are people coming from Google? Are they coming from email? Basically anything that's a person is doing on your website, you'll be able to see and make changes as necessary. And don't be afraid to ask for help. There's, you know, tons of people, of course, like myself and Dewan, but lots of people who are willing to help so that make your site as best as it can be. And so just a couple of don'ts is you don't want to use text smaller than 14 pixels, because it'll be hard to read. You don't want to use complicated URLs. Part of that is because Google, again, because Google rules the internet, is their scanners will read your URLs, and they want it to be relevant words to what's on the page. So you don't want your site to be mysite.com/42-ABC. Like, that doesn't mean anything to Google. You would want it to be, if the article is about plus size shopping trends, you want the URL to be plus-shopping-trends. And that'll also help with ranking in Google. Don't use special characters in your domain name unless you absolutely have to, because it can hurt findability, especially if someone has a similar name without a character. For instance, if you hyphenated your domain name and someone has it without a hyphen, people more than likely are not going to remember the hyphen and get to a different site. So you want to try to keep your site all one word, no spaces or characters. And the last thing is, don't get complacent. Like I said, the landscape is always evolving. It used to be back in the day that you would launch your website and then maybe like 2 years later, you would redesign it. And now it's just like you launch it and then you see like what's working, what's not, and constantly working on it and improving it. So don't get complacent. And so that's the end of our presentation. I'm going to email Fawn our website audit checklist for you ladies. That'll just have a little checklist on, you know, what to do and not to do when launching your site. And if you would like to talk further with Dewan and I about any of the services you see on the screen to help you with your digital business, you can email us at thesquad@girlcodedigital.com. And I think Dewan and I kind of forgot to tie together why she and I are working together, but we realized, you know, we were both trying to, on our own, do our expertise as entrepreneurs, and we realized that we were better together. So we are launching very soon a website, and our business is called Girl Code Digital Studio, and we are going to focus on women entrepreneur businesses and helping with everything that you need when it comes to digital and marketing. So if you have any questions, feel free.
Woohoo! Thank you so much. That was awesome. Everybody give these ladies a big round of hugs and applause. Yay! Thank you, Tiara. Would you be willing to unshare your screen?
Yeah.
Screen? If I can find my vowels and consonants. And yeah, now we can all see each other. Beautiful. All right. Yeah. Any questions, ladies? I'm going to hang back and put myself on mute. Take advantage of this.
I have a question. This is Jessica. And on one of the slides where we're you were talking about five things to do tomorrow. I like that suggestion. But I noticed in the graphic on the side that there was something that I had no idea what it was. So I was just wondering if maybe you could give like a short little explanation that I'm sure I could research, but I also am sure that you both could explain it well. PPC and SEM marketing, I have zero idea what that means.
Yeah. You want me to take it, or do you want to take it to one?
You can take it. I'll let you take it.
Okay. Yeah. So PPC and SEM marketing are basically paid search. So when you're on Google and you search for something, you see those ads pop up. Those are paid ads that people are paying to like get in front of you. So there's organic search, which is what naturally how you rank in Google, and then there's the paid search where you can actually pay to target users based on what they're searching for in the search engines, so you can pop up on those first pages.
And so the PPC is pay per click.
Yes.
And SEM is search engine marketing.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, that's very helpful. Thanks.
Who else has questions? Yeah, Emily.
Okay, so when you were talking about page names, you mentioned like if you're naming your page to put hyphens in between the words. Is there a difference between hyphens between the words and underscores? Like I've seen both in URLs, and I just wondered if there was like an advantage or disadvantage between one or the other.
Yeah, there's best practice is usually a hyphen, but okay. You can do underscores as well, as long as it's you know, separated by words that make sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, either will work.
Cool. And is there like a particular like number of words or length that you should like kind of shoot for in naming those pages? I mean, I know you said like under 60 characters for like the page titles, but and probably the page titles should match the, you know, the URL titles as well. But yeah, just let you take them there.
Yes, there is a recommended length, and I can find that out for you and send it to Fawn. But I want to try to keep it like the same as the actual page title, or you can like cut out like some words. So like, you can make out like the and the things like that to make it shorter if it's like a long.
Gotcha. Cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Who else has questions?
I have a question.
Herky, beautiful.
So someone who's not yet started the business, but I want to know, like, there's all this talk about, like you said, you know, you be authentic with your brand and other things. And also there's talk about, look at what the user wants, not what you want. So how does one bridge the gap in terms of brand and the thing between being your authentic self and yet catering to the user? I mean, in terms of your design, your website, or, you know, and those.
I can jump in and just say that, you know, your brand comes first. So you have to have that nailed down and defined first. And so your brand is really going to drive what your audience comes to you for. And also, you know, you're hopefully not going to cater content to something that's outside of your brand. So we're more speaking about, you know, let's say you're, I'll just say a car company and you sell cars and you're really about luxury. So you're really focused on, you know, selling luxury cars. That's your brand. You sell the luxury experience. And let's say that you've established your brand, but then you find out that people really are looking for, how do I get a luxury car, that costs as much as a Honda? That, you know, that that's not really what you're here for. That's really not your why. So we're not saying, okay, we'll change everything to make sure that you cater, to the person that's looking for that Honda price. You maybe want to cater your content in your blog. Maybe you do a blog article that talks about why a luxury car costs more than a Honda, to give people the information that they need so they can understand, you know, this is why you want that luxury experience. And therefore this is why it's more than a Honda. So we're not, you know, saying to change, who you are. But it's more about, okay, what are people looking for and how does that maybe fit into what I'm selling or what I'm promoting? Is that a good explanation?
Yes, perfect. Thank you. Yes.
Okay.
And also, you want to make sure that you target, when you're coming up with like your ideal customer, you're going to want the people who are looking for that luxury experience as opposed to the people who are looking for the Honda.
Right. Like Duan said, yeah. So your target market, you should know. Yeah. And that's why your why should be very handy, I guess. So you should never compromise on that. I think that's the beginning stage. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And that can be really tricky because, you know, you're venturing out and, you know, you're probably also, you know, looking to be successful and I want to also generate revenue and, you know, you kind of want to look to, okay, well, where's the revenue? But you really have to have that why, you know, implanted into what you do, so that it doesn't steer you off course.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you.
Great question, Herky. Do you ladies mind if I chime in just a little quip real quick? So there is something I was at a business mastermind seminar, I don't know, 5 years ago or something. And this woman said this thing that has stuck with me ever since. And I want to share it with you ladies because it's very on topic of what Herky just asked and the response that you both just gave. And she said, it's SWSWSW. Some will, some won't, so what? Someone's waiting. And that just stuck with me because I was like, you know, maybe not everybody wants or can afford a luxury car, but I'm a fucking luxury car. So like, let's, you know, like get into that mindset. And like, it's sometimes we want to serve everybody. And I think what Herky just asked and how you two just responded to that was like a really awesome way of saying, like kind of echoing that. So yeah.
Yeah.
Who else has a question? Come on, ladies. Kim, yeah.
I was wondering, as far as developing a website, what are the, I guess what I want to know, what are the advantages of having somebody else develop it for you rather than you doing it on your own? Is it hard to explain to someone else exactly your why and everything like that to get the whole concept across, or is it better to go that way? I mean, I guess I'm just wondering, what are the advantages?
Yeah, I think it depends on your level of expertise, but I think there's a few reasons why it's usually better to go with a professional. Is one, they know like the ins and outs of the digital. So like some of the things that we talked about today, the things that we did talk about today are literally like not even scratching the surface of all the different things that you have to keep in mind and think about and things like that. But also, for instance, I just finished a website for a hairstylist who had, she got Squarespace and she's like, oh, the commercial set is easy. So she got it. And then she started working on it and she was like, no, I don't know what's happening. And so she asked for my help. And I think what people don't understand is that, yes, like Wix, it may be easy to drag and drop, but that doesn't necessarily mean you understand the design elements and space and where things should go. And I think a great designer and a great developer will speak with you to understand like who you are, what you're trying to do, to really like get to the root of like who you are and who you're targeting, so that they can put together ideas that will go with your brand and what you're trying to do, but also make sure that it's done correctly to best practices and it looks and functions well.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Who wants to know how to go viral? Because I want to know how to go viral.
Any tips on that? I actually attended a class, a speech where the guy was like, you can't go viral. Like you never really know what exactly is going to catch on. You just want to make sure that you're putting yourself out there, doing your best work and being sharing and getting engagement and things like that. But you never really know what's going to take off and what's not, or who's going to see it and, blast it out to the world. So, but keep being consistent and keep putting your stuff out there, and eventually maybe you'll go viral.
I think the majority of things that do go viral had no intention of doing so. So it's kind of, it just happened.
Yes, yes.
No one saw the market for cat videos coming.
Like the video I watched on the news last week of an alligator ringing a doorbell, which terrified me.
Emily, did you have a question?
Yeah, so I just wanted to ask your experience. So I've done a little bit of work on Squarespace, and I've never worked with Wix before and done a little bit on WordPress. Can you talk a little bit about the advantages/disadvantages of some of the templated sites? Templated sites, like you have a lot less freedom. You have a lot of freedom, but a lot less than you would have building like a custom website. But that's actually like a good thing in a lot of people's situations, because they don't need as much freedom when you're trying to just build a simple website, and having too much freedom is like too much control. But kind of the root of the question is, do you have like a an idea of like what is the best platform to go with at this time.
Yeah, so there's definitely pros and cons to each. By far the most user-friendly one is Wix. It's super easy to use. It's pretty much all drag and drop, and it's definitely the most beginner friendly. You with all of the sites, they do have like the templates, but you can also hand code and inject your own code into it. WordPress obviously is the most robust, but it definitely has a little bit of a learning curve if you're really trying to like make it all that it can be with all the plugins and their short code language and all that kind of stuff. I think it depends on your level of expertise, how big your site is, what your future goals are. If you're looking to grow into a big company, you have all these different things that you need, like demos or, you know, things like that, you definitely probably want to go with either a WordPress or a custom site. But for the average person starting out, or definitely a solopreneur, you definitely, it's totally fine to use Wix or Squarespace or one of those type sites. And with all of those sites, I believe, depending on the plan that you have, you should be able to like export your site or migrate it over to a different platform if you decide that you want to switch over. One thing I will recommend though is buying your domain name through a site like GoDaddy or a site that's not Wix or Squarespace, because if you buy your domain through them, then like you pretty much are like stuck with them. If you decide to like leave their platform, like they take your domain name. So you want to definitely get your domain name like on GoDaddy or another site and just like connect it to whichever platform you end up using.
That goes for hosting as well, as I understand it, Tiara. Like if you can host separately, like host on Bluehost, buy your domain through Bluehost or whoever, separate, right?
Yes, especially, you know, with WordPress, definitely. And I know Bluehost is one of the ones that people like the most. I'm not sure if it's Squarespace or Wix or both, but one of them, that you can only use their hosting. So definitely like look into all of those things if you have plans to expand beyond like a small or mid-sized site.
All right, I am seeing that we are at time, and if anybody else has a question, well, does anybody need to hop off right now? Like immediately? Okay, all right, sounds like, looks like we're all pretty into this. Cool. Tiara, Dwan, would you be willing to hang for a few extra minutes and answer any questions? Cool. All right, ladies, let's utilize this time with the experts. Feel free to raise your hands, chime in. Who's wondering stuff?
Okay, I'll go again because I have like endless questions on this topic. But can you talk through some of like the worst like website fails you've noticed? Like things that you just like see and you're just like, oh girl, like no, like don't do this. Don't do that.
Yeah, I've seen some really awful websites. A lot of them are government websites. So if you ever just look at most government websites, they're awful. But I recently was looking for a new hair salon, and I came across this website, and it was like, it had like two different logos. Like the logo wasn't the same in each place. And there was like music playing and there were like 14 pop-ups. And like, it was like sliding across the screen like it was 1997. And I was just like, no, ma'am. So I definitely have seen a lot of things, and like, Comic Sans is like the worst font ever. Definitely never use that font. So like, things like that, colors that don't go together. I've definitely seen a lot of awfulness.
I'd say probably the worst thing I see is unresponsive sites. Because yeah. I'm usually running around with my daughter, or you know, just from here to there, and I'm usually on my phone. So I usually really need to find it as quick as possible. And I'm like ready to throw my phone out of the window because I'm like, why is this site? Like, I'm trying to flip my phone to fill out a form, or you know, to fill something out, and I can't do it because the site's unresponsive. And it's just, I mean, especially now today, it's, you've got to be responsive because that's where people are finding you and that's where they're going to engage with you. So if it's that, like, makes for the worst user experience.
Absolutely. And now Google just rolled out its new algorithm update, which it does periodically, where if your site is not mobile, they will ding you down in the rankings. So definitely want to have a mobile site.
That was a great question, Emily. I love that. Yeah, fails. Fails are always good to acknowledge. Okay, ladies, let's go ahead and start wrapping out the call. If any of you have lingering questions for Tiara and Dwan, feel free to field them to me, and I'm happy to pass them along, or their information will be provided in the asset that Tiara has so generously created for us, and I'll be emailing that out tomorrow with the call recording. Tiara's also in the Facebook group, and so if you want to, you know, DM her or just tag her in a question in the Facebook group, you're welcome to do that. And if anybody needs to hop off now, feel free to do so. I would love to do a round of takeaways, as we usually do, and we can keep these short because it is already some moments after the hour here. So if anyone needs to hop off, or who would be willing to do takeaway round, let's do that. Show of hands. I know it's late for some of you in certain parts of the country. Okay. Let's see here. Vanessa, do you need to hop off? Do you want to share your takeaway first, or do you just need to hop off?
I need to jump on another call. I'm a little bit late, so I think I'm going to hop off.
Okay. Beautiful. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate it. Yeah. All right. Anyone that needs to hop off, feel free to do so. Thank you so much for joining us. So takeaway round, straightforward, let's keep it laser. And essentially this is anything that stood out to you from the call, a highlight, an aha, a holy shit, I didn't know that at all. Or like, you know, anything that came up for you in the conversation, and we'll do round robin. I'll go ahead and kind of name everybody, and we can do that like we did with intros. So I will, I'll start with Emily. Put you in the hot seat.
So one thing that I took away that was really helpful for me was knowing a little bit more about SEO and about some of the like advertisements, the pay-per-click type of things, and just kind of like understanding a little bit more about how Google searches for your site, like how it looks for it. And so the optimization of how do you make your site searchable, how do you not overkill on the keywords and things like that. That was really a great takeaway for me. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for that. Yeah, that was really, really helpful. Let's see. Herky, would you be willing to share a takeaway?
Sure. First of all, that was a wealth of information. Thank you so much. And I liked that your presentation was classy and with so much clarity and so much information. And I think from what I was thinking is these days, everything is simple. You can just copy paste and I can make my own website, but I don't think so any longer. I think I might be looking deeper into getting someone professional. So. Yeah, thank you.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's, who else has that takeaway? I do. Right? Jess, would you be willing to share a takeaway?
Yeah, I have a few. So thank you both so much. Dwayne, I really liked that, or Dwan, sorry, Dwan, awesome. That you set us straight in the beginning, that brand comes first. I think that was really valuable, just like setting that tone and spending awesome. Some time on that. So that was really helpful. Thank you.
And this came up several times in the conversation, but I also really appreciated the reinforcement that there is an audience for everyone. I sometimes like think about if I'm being too narrow in my scope, and then I think, no, but they're not getting the attention, so just go for it. And so it's nice to have that reinforcement. And then I just wanted to say that I think it's so cool that we have such expert resources in the tribe to support the efforts of all of the hopes and desires of our dreams. And thank you again for offering this session. It was really helpful, especially for me in particular, but I know like so many other people, so very valuable.
Yeah, awesome. Yes. Kim, would you like to share a takeaway?
Yes. First of all, thank you again to both the young ladies here. It was very informational, but got me thinking about things that I have not thought about yet. especially considering somebody, I have heard about Wix. My level of expertise in that is not very much. So when you were talking about to always test, don't get complacent, make sure your audience is, this is where you need to be. That stuck with me a lot. So it was on top of all the technical things, it was mainly just making sure you always stay relevant, that you're where you need to be. So thank you for that.
Yeah, nice. Thanks for sharing that. Dwan, would you like to share a takeaway?
Sure. I took away that, you know, you're always surrounded by fabulous women. You just don't know it. So even on this call, it's like, this is awesome. But yeah, that was definitely my takeaway, that there are probably so many different talents on my screen. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate you guys letting us present. This has been great.
Beautiful. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for being our guest cameo co-speaker. Yeah, so grateful. Seriously, so grateful. Oh my gosh. Tiara, would you like to share a takeaway? Tiara and Toby.
Sorry.
Everybody let your dogs out.
Yeah, I thought it seems like people were like really engaged and really took away some information. So I'm really happy to be able to share with women who are trying to be bosses and do their business. And yeah, it was awesome. It was a great experience.
Yay, awesome. Yeah. Oh, do you, I mean, I'm hoping that the two of you feel really supported in your new endeavor, just knowing like what the turnout was on the call tonight and how many of us have no idea what we're doing, or maybe we kind of do, but we don't really. Like there is such a need for what you're creating. And I'm segueing into my takeaway. But I'm so incredibly in awe and like in my hell yes right now, like actually like my fuck yes right now, seeing everybody together tonight on this screen, sharing space. The two of you are presenting around like your new agency that you're creating. You're empowering us to be wiser, more educated, so that we can go out in the world and we can connect with the people who need our help, and we can make a positive impact in the world. And everything you've presented tonight is absolutely crucial, as you've like drove home to us this evening. And I feel so grateful for this in a way, like a revolution that's happening, where none of us are willing to just kind of sit by and let our dreams and our passions like remain dormant. We're making things happen. And a lot of us are brand new, or a lot of you are brand new at like, I don't even know what entrepreneurship entails. Like, what is the brand, you know? And I'm so, so grateful that we're making the connection points and we're supporting each other along the journey. And like Jessica came in a few weeks ago and taught us about finance, and you ladies are coming in tonight and you're teaching us about like web presence and marketing. And the more that we can show up for each other and like support each other and inform each other, like the stronger we're going to be individually and all together. So tonight I feel is a really like symbolic representation of that. That's my takeaway. Awesome, awesome. Yay, ladies. All right, you can all unmute yourselves. Let's say good night and farewell.
Thank you.
Good night. Good night. Yes.
Thank you, ladies.
Bye.
Sweet digital dreams, everyone.